Today is Memorial Sunday, but it's also a church holiday. It's a Jewish holiday also. It's Pentecost Sunday. Technically, Pentecost was yesterday. Pentecost means 50 days after Passover, and yesterday was the 50th day, starting at sundown on Friday until sundown yesterday afternoon. That is Pentecost. What we read in Exodus was what happened on the first day of Pentecost. Way back in the Old Testament, Moses is up on the mountain. There is thunder, there is lightning, there is fire. There are people who are terrified. God had given a commandment, said nobody or nothing living is to touch that mountain while I'm on it. And if anything touches it, you stone it to death immediately. So it was kind of scary. They probably put up hazard ropes, you know, don't go any closer than this, all the way around it. And God spoke to him. And Moses went up. He talked to him. God engraved the Ten Commandments on cold old stone. And then while he was up there, God says to Moses, it's time for you to go down because they've already broken the first law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what we read about. And you'll notice, if you paid any attention, close attention, you'll notice that God went from, these are my people, earlier in the book, to Moses, your people that you led out of Egypt have now stumbled and they've fallen, and I'm really ticked off at those people. Your people, stand back, get out of my way, because I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth and I'm going to start a whole new group with you. You'll still be the descendant of Abraham, but I will build a nation from you. So it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. And then the children would start being counted out after that. And Moses starts in a whole intercession. After the intercession, he gets down to the bottom. Moses does. He sees what's going on. And he takes the two tablets of stone and he breaks them. What he's doing there is trying to break the contract that they had entered into. So he breaks the stone tablets and then he goes on to say, people, anyone that's on my side, anyone that's on the Lord's side, come over here. And then he gives them the instruction. And there was gates this way, there was gates that way. And he said, walk through and start killing every man that you see, or whether it's your brother or your friend, you have to go through there and do this. Now, just as an aside over here, a lot of times if you read the Jewish rabbi stuff going on, they will say this, it was mainly the Gentiles that they killed. Because when they were coming out of Egypt, when you're reading it, it says Moses got the children of Israel, but what came out of Egypt, and it says it in the scripture, there was a mixed multitude, meaning there was a bunch of Egyptians down there that saw the miracles of God and understood that this is truly the God, the Almighty God, because He could pull off all these miracles. And He had stood up against Pharaoh, and they'd been taught all their life that Pharaoh was a great God. And Pharaoh crumbled, and when they saw that the people were leaving, they said, we want to go with you because you've got the true God. And they went off with them. So the rabbis, trying to soften the blow, they'll say, well, mainly it was just the Gentile people that got killed. But when we read that, it said, go through here and kill your brothers and your sons and your friends. So they can't really dodge the bullet. They have no ground to stand on, because if they're Jewish, they don't have Gentile brothers. They may have some Gentile friends, but they did not have Gentile brothers. So they can't dodge the bullet there. But 3,000 people were slaughtered. Now, I'd like to read to you in the book of Abraham, the writer of Abraham, his take on what went down there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 through 21. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of the trumpets, and the sound of the words, which sound was such that those who heard begged no further word to be spoken to them. For they could not bear the commandment, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. This is what happened, and this is what is commemorated by the Jewish people all over the world yesterday. They were commemorating the giving of the law with all the fire, and they blow trumpets and all this kind of stuff, and they have a big ceremony they go through, and there was fire on Mount Sinai, and there was thunder on Mount Sinai, and all this was going on. And it was a terrible day in their history because so many people were wiped out. Of course, now we go over to New Testament. That's where we come in. Pentecost, New Testament style, is different. Pentecost is actually a recognized holiday among the vast majority of churches. We don't observe it here like they do. If you go to observant churches, I guess you can't, I can't think of another word. If you go to an observant church, on this day, they will decorate their church in colors that are of fire. Reds, oranges, and yellows, but mainly reds and oranges, and usually it's just reds, because they're trying to commemorate the fire, and it's the day of Pentecost, and they're commemorating that, so when people will come in, they will remember that today is the day that we choose to celebrate Pentecost. And I have to say we choose because we don't have a special Saturday service for this, but we choose to celebrate it on this day because it's the closest day to the actual day. Now, if you'll let me read what's been read two or three times already today, is Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested each one on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now if you'll drop down to verse 40 and 41. But usually when the word Pentecost is said, even in our day and age now, even though it's been going on for hundreds of years, people get sidetracked on that idea of tongues. That was not the issue of what was going on Pentecost. That should be de-emphasized by us because that's not the main point of what happened. Verse 40 through 41. And with many other words, he solemnly, this is Peter has preached his sermon, and with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who received his words were baptized, and that day there was added about 3,000 souls to the church. The difference being the Pentecost of the Old Testament, the fire and the wind and the thunder came down and landed on top of a mountain, a cold stone mountain where the laws were chiseled out and given to the people. There was no negotiation, no wiggle room. There was no mercy. That's the way it's going to be. Boom. And if anybody touches this mountain, kill them. If any animal touches this mountain, kill it. Pentecost, New Testament style. There's people, lots of people, and they're on top of a mountain. Yeah, it's called Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where the city of Jerusalem sits. It's the city, it's also the place where Christ was crucified. So there on that mountain, there's all these people. And something happens, a great thundering, mighty wind, the sound lands, and the fire comes down, but instead of coming on cold ground, the fire comes down and lands on each of the people who have accepted Christ that was in the prayer chamber of the upper room that day. And it lands on people, not to curse them, but to bless them. Not to cut them off and give them a reason so that they'd understand why they were cut off from God, as in the Old Testament, but rather to show them that they were blessed, chosen of God, and the law had been done away with through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, and now they were made pure enough, not that they would be stoned to death for breaking the law, but that they will be forgiven, and the Holy Spirit of God moved into them and lived with them, and which is also a blessing that we have. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us because we are made pure enough for Him to come into us. The Old Testament is death. The New Testament is eternal life. The two are separated, and yet they share a common core. They share the fact that there was this mighty rushing wind. There was this fire that came down, a fire of judgment. But with us, it was a fire of cleansing. Now, all this is done, and Paul brings up, he asks a very pointed question. He's writing after Pentecost, and I'll just read what it says. So then, does He, that's God, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, does He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And then the last part of verse 11, he says, the just, that's the righteous, the just shall live by faith. The difference is, and the main emphasis is not the fact that these people could speak in different languages. That's beside the point. The point that should be driven home constantly is this shift of one was bringing condemnation, the other was bringing righteousness. And then he says, how did you get the spirit of blessing? Did you get it by keeping laws, or did you get it by trusting and having faith? The law keepers were condemned. And on that day that they fell, 3,000 died. The people who walked by faith on that day, 3,000 people were granted eternal life. Big difference there. He's saying, how did this stuff come to you? How does the Spirit come to you? And the point being this, you cannot grasp the blessings of God by keeping those laws. They can do nothing but to condemn. But you can receive those blessings when you walk by faith. And he makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians where he says, for the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the New Testament Pentecost is so much better. I keep saying that all the time. The writers of Hebrew brings this up a lot, and he uses the word better, 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 better in that epistle, because what we've got's better. While this was spectacular, and I would have liked to have seen it from a distance, this is better, and I would like to have seen that one right up close. I would like to have experienced it and heard that wind and had that fire set down on top of my head. I would like to have seen it, because this one's judgment, this one's grace and favor. Hearing comes by hearing. And it's not just me speaking words, or it's not just reading these words. It's when you hear these words spoken, do you hear them as Doyle's up there talking again? Or do you hear them as, this is the voice of God speaking to me? He says, how did you get it? By law keeping, or by hearing the words of God in faith? Hearing the words of God in faith is how you got it. Hearing. Do you hear the word of God? Do you hear God speaking to you? And when you do hear that, do you trust it and say, God speaks, God does not lie, I trust in what He says, even though it doesn't look right, it doesn't seem right in my little human head, I'm going to go with Him, and I'm going to trust what God tells me. And at the point you say, I'm going to trust on what God tells me, at that point you say, I'm going to rest. I now have a knowing that God is going to accomplish His word. He's going to honor His word. He's not honoring what I do. He's honoring His word. The point is, a lot of people slide from salvation by grace, and then they're taught the only way that God will hear you and bless you is when you're good enough. You've got to be good enough. I even heard a minister talking the other day on this and said, oh, it's salvation by grace and the Spirit of God is there with you constantly, and it's a great blessing as long as you're good enough and as long as you pray and as long as you walk that sanctified and holy life. And if you make one mistake, He withdraws from you and He'll have nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you, because there is no hope. There is no hope for you. And I'm going, wait a minute, you just got done talking about the grace and the favor of God, and then you switched it back over and said, now you've got to keep all this stuff perfectly. He says, no, no, no. How did you get it? By faith. You got the grace of God and the Spirit dwelling within you by faith, because you trusted. You trusted when God spoke. And a lot of people trust for their salvation, but they do not trust in their day-to-day life that God is going to lead them, guide them, and bless them. But it does say the just shall live by faith. And it's not just live as an eternal salvation. It's you will live each and every day of your life saying, I'm trusting You, God, to take care of it. It doesn't look right. I don't see how You're going to work this out, but I'm going to trust You. I got fired, but I'm going to trust You that You are going to do something that gives me a better position than what I had before. I'm having trouble, but I'm going to trust you to deliver me from my trouble. You can't use your good deeds as a bargaining chip with God, saying, God, look, I did this, and I'm playing that bargaining chip now, you know, and I want you to do this for me. I'm trying. You can't influence God by your good deeds, because once you say, here's my good deeds, this is what I want based on that, He can pick your good deeds apart. That's not right. That's not right. You didn't do that perfectly either. Remember this, the only influence that you have with God, the only influence that you have with God is this. The blood of Jesus Christ washed away your sins. The blood of Jesus Christ set you apart, for God made you holy and sanctified. People have a misunderstanding of what the word holy means. Holy and sanctified, it just means you are set apart for God's use. It doesn't mean you're perfect. There are dogs and there's dogs. My family, my dad had dogs. There was pet dogs, pretty worthless but fun to have around. And then there was dogs that were sanctified by my dad, and they were set apart for bird hunting. And he bird hunted, and we had all sorts of dogs and shapes and sizes and colors, but those were sanctified. Some of them were better bird dogs than others. Some of them was from the line called Mississippi Zeb, which was a big deal, you know. But they were sanctified as set apart as bird dogs, and that was what they were for. Some was better than others, but they were all sanctified bird dogs, set apart for that use. We are sanctified. Some of us are better than others, but we are all still sanctified children of God, and that's what holiness is. It's not a matter of perfection. It's a matter of we have been set apart for Him. We are no longer of the world. We are no longer following after Satan. We are no longer trying to keep the law. Our only influence with Him is the blood of Jesus Christ. So when you go to Him in prayer, don't say, God, I've been trying to be real good here. God, help me on this. God, help me out. And I promise I'll be real good next week and I'll do my best. You go to Him and say, God, Your Son is the best. Your Son walked perfectly. Your Son is so wonderful and has been so kind to me. I'm almost embarrassed to ask, but He told me to. I'm asking You again, will You help me because of Your Son? Your Son. I know that You love me, but Your Son made it so that the Holy Spirit can indwell me. Your Son and His sacrifice has put me on this path where I am sanctified and I am holy. Might not be the best bird dog in your kennel, God, but I am set apart for Your use. Because of Him, would You please listen to me and hear my prayer? And He said to do that, so I'm trusting for You to answer that prayer. And I want to hear what kind of answer You're going to give. Tell me which way to go. Tell me exactly how to pray. Tell me what to expect. I'm waiting to hear Your voice. I'm waiting to hear Your leading me as to what to do. We're done. But I'd like to add one little note on to the end of that. When we talk about being blessed, if you say, I'm blessed, and all this material stuff comes to mind, toys and trucks and four-wheelers or sewing machines or whatever, you know, microwave ovens. I don't know what you ladies like, that kind of stuff. Whatever is there, if that stuff is what comes to your mind when you say, I am blessed, you have no real idea of what a blessing is. You don't really have an idea of what a real blessing is. Yeah, those are fun and those can be exciting, and yes, God can give those to you and you're blessed by that, but real blessings, if that's all that comes to your mind, then you're missing the point of what real blessings are. You're missing out on life. The only way to get the real blessings is to do it by calling upon God in the name of His Son based upon what He did. And if you're wondering what real blessings are, I can tell you one thing you can do and discover some of them. Go to a hospital and walk down the corridors and see those people and know that you're going to put some hand lotion on because it just creeps you out. You might get something while you're there. Rub it on your hands and you can walk out that door and you're still healthy. And they're stuck there. You are blessed. because you walked out on your own accord feeling all right. Those people would like to have what you've got, which is blessing. There's so many things that we take for granted, and they're blessings of God. So thank God for all the good stuff you have, the real stuff that's important. And don't let the devil put you in a position where you learn that good health is a blessing, that friends are a blessing, that family is a blessing. You can buy a new truck, but you can't buy a new kid. You know what I mean? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you for all the great things that you've done for us. Father, without causing us to go through loss, I ask that you would make us more aware of the great blessings that you have given us, starting with your Son, Jesus Christ. Open our eyes. Let us hear your voice when you point these things out to us. Once again, we ask for safety, traveling, mercies for everybody, not just us alone, but everybody that's out there. And Father, all glory and honor to your Son. Through Him and Him alone have we been made worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.